Alright, so we'll say, let's begin. We left off Yud Beis, Yud Beis Amud Beis. The second, it's the second of the wide lines on the bottom. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Tani Chada. So the Gemara says, we have one braise that thought the following. Shamish Bode Kosos Vikaros La'or HaNer. That a Shamish, right, an attendant, a butler, is able to go ahead and check cups and plates by the light of the candle on Shabbos. Obviously, he'd be checking them to make sure that they're clean for use. B'tanya Yidach, another braise says, Lo Yivdok, you shouldn't check. Lo Kasha, so the Gemara says, not a Kasha. Kan B'Shamish Kavua. Kan B'Shamish She'enu Kavua. The braise is referring to two different types of shamashim, two different types of attendants. One is a Shamish Kavua. Shamish Kavua means an established Shamish, meaning somebody whose full-time job this is. So the assumption is that for this individual, he's going to be especially meticulous in checking the cups and the plates because he wants to hold on to his job. In that kind of situation, there's a concern that he may come to tilt the candle in order to be able to have more light. And the second brisa that says that it's mother is dealing with a shamash she'ina kavua, a butler temp. So a butler temp is not going to, we're not as worried that he's not as meticulous, and therefore we're not concerned that he's going to tilt the candle in order to be able to inspect the cups and the plates. V'vayisim, the other possibility is, both can be dealing with a shamish kavua, velo kasha, and it's not a contradiction between the two braisos, ha b'dimashcha, ha b'dinafta, the two braisos are referring to where the candles that are used are of two different materials. One is talking about an oil candle, and in a regular oil candle, that's where there's a concern that one may come to tilt it. The shamish may come to tilt in order to inspect the cups and the plates. And the other one is naphtha, which is, Rashi points out, is a foul-smelling fuel. So in that situation, there's no concern that the shamish may come to tilt it, because by tilting it causes the naphtha to go ahead and burn quicker, which causes the odor to become intensified. There's no chashash that it's going to do that. Or ibayluhu. So the word now brings up a question. Shamashena kavua b'demash chamahu. What happens if you have a shamashena kavua? So a temp butler, who in general is not so meticulous, but the candle that's being used is an oil candle. And therefore, again, there would be no issue with tilting it because there's no bad smell. On the other hand, because he's not kavua, thank you, because he's not kavua, so he doesn't have to be as meticulous. Amirav, halacha vein morinkin. So Rav said, halacha lemaisa, it's mutter, but we don't pass him that way. V'chein Rav Yirmi Abar Abba Amar, excuse me, not the chein, Rav Yirmi Abar Abba Amar, halachu morinkin. Rav Yirmi Abar Abba says, no, that is the halacha, and indeed we even pass him that way. That if you have a temporary shamish, and an oil candle, that we let him go ahead and do his work by the light of that candle, and we're not concerned that he's going to come to tilt it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yirmi Abar Abba Ikla Lebei Ravasi. So Rabbi Yirmi Abar Abba once went to the house of Ravasi. Kam Sham E Kabodik Lenuhura Dishraga. So Rabbi Yirmi Abar Abba Shamis, his attendant, got up and checked his master's cups and plates by the light of the candle to make sure that it was clean. So what happened? Amra lo devisu umar lo avatachi. So Rav Asi's wife, remember Rav Asi is the host. So Rav Asi's wife sees this whole thing and she says, but master, she's referring to her husband, you don't paskin this way, meaning you don't allow a servant to check the cups and the plates by the light of the candle, to which the Gemara says, Amra lo. So Rav Asi responded to her, Shafke, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Why? Because he holds like his master, who was Rabbi Yirmi Abar Abba, and Rabbi Yirmi Abar Abba was the one who just said before that halacha lemaisa, an attendant who's not kavua, meaning a temporary butler, is permitted to go ahead and check the cups and the plates by the light of an oil candle, and there's no concern that he may come to adjust it. Be'emes amru achazim. So remember then the next statement of the Mishnah. So the next statement of the Mishnah says the following. Be'emes Amrus. Remember again, the Mishnah wrote that Be'emes, we'll have to see exactly what that formulation means, but Be'emes Amru, in reality, they said that the Chazan, right, so we'll discuss this Chazan in just a moment, Roa Heichan Tinokos Korin, could see where the children are reading, Aval Hulo Yikra, but he shouldn't read by the light of the candle. So the Gemara says, V'ha Amrit Reisha, Roa, my love likros. So the Gemara says the statement itself seems to be contradictory. On one hand, you said that the chazan is able to see where the children are up to, which would presumably mean that he's able to read by this candlelight as well. But then you go on to say that he shouldn't read by the candlelight. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, "Amadresha roe my love likros lo lisader parshiosav." No, you know what it means? He's permitted to go ahead and use the candlelight to arrange the parshios. What does that mean? Take a look at the last Rashi on the Daf Rav Ozayin. Rashi parshios, umaritza umaritzan befiv. Shemitoch sherosh haparsha shkura befiv, huniskar bekula lemachar, umisayeya es shiva hakorin benekuda v'tameh belachash. So also, if you remember again, in Rashi and the Mishnah, we had two different opinions as to who this chazan is. Some say, according to the first version of Rashi, is that this chazan is what we call today the gabai. The gabai. So what would the gabai do? The gabai was someone who knew Chumash very well. But on what he used to do was, let's say on Friday night, he would look over the parasha, so that this way he could assist the Baal Kore the next morning. Now, interestingly enough, he wouldn't need to read the whole parasha by the candlelight. Rather, what he would just need is, he'd need a little bit of light in order to see the beginning of the pasuk, because then he knew Baal Peh the rest of the pasuk. So he needed a little bit of light to jog his memory, and then he would get the rest. So what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, that little bit of light that he needs, he could use the Or HaNer, and because he really only needs a very small amount of light, we're not concerned that what? That'll come to adjust the Ner to be able to have more light. V'chino Rav Shmuel Avamasadehu Roshe Parshiosov, V'kula Roshe Parshiosov. So to the Brisa says that he's able to go ahead and use the candlelight just to review the beginning of the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, V'chula Parshalo, is that to say that he can't use the candlelight to learn the entire Parsha? Top of Yud Gimel. Meisve, Rav Shimon Amiel Omer, Hatinokos shall base Rabban, Hayu Misajin Parshiosov V'korin La'or HaNer. So yet the Brisa says that the Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the school children were permitted to go ahead and arrange their parshios. The Saturday parshios of Kola Aranair means they can learn by the candlelight. They can learn by the candlelight. So Rav says, so we see over here clearly that you are permitted to learn by the candlelight. So the Gemara says, Iba Yisema, Rashi Parshiosa. So maybe the first answer is that they were, even the children were only using a little bit of candlelight in order to go ahead and jog, right? All they needed was the first part of the pasuk in Mamish. They knew the rest of Baal Peh, and all they needed was a little bit of light to jog their memory. And therefore, again, that usage of that, remember I was like, the whole chap in general with this gzeira is, there's a concern that you're going to need more light. So what you've seen over and over and over is in cases where the Gemara says, that you only need a minimal amount of light, that's where there's no concern that you'll come to adjust the flame itself. Sa'aloch al-maisa, the Gemara is suggesting over here that again, by the Tinoko Shabbos Rabban, they only need a little bit of light, and therefore they're not going to come to adjust it. Or listen to this. Iva Yisema, listen to the Gemara. Iva Yisema, shiny Tinokos. School children are different. Why? Hoil ve'emas Rabban alehen lo asi litzluye. Literally translated, the fear of the Rebbe is on them, and they won't come to adjust the flame. Look what Rashi says over here. Amos Rabban Alein, listen to the words of this Rashi. Ein poshtin yad l'shum dover, v'afilu b'chol, ela alpi Rabban. They don't go ahead and even stretch out their hand to do anything without their Rebbe's permission. Just like it is with schools today, right? Same thing. Right, same thing. So therefore, because of that, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says there's no fear that they're going to go ahead and tilt the candle. Interesting enough, also the Marashah brings down, I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek or if we sing it for real, but he says there's another reason why we're not concerned about school children learning by the candlelight. He says because the kids want the candle to go out, right? Because if candle goes out, then what happens? Right? School's out. So he says there's no chashash that the kids are going to come to adjust it. Okay. Kiyotze balu yochal azov. So to the Mishnah ended off by saying that the zov should not eat with the zov. Referring to a husband and wife who are zov and zova, they should not go ahead and eat together. Tanya. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. Rav Shimon Elazar says, Borei ad heichan pirtza tara b'Yisrael. See how seriously the Jewish people take pirtza rashis means gavra. See how strongly embedded the laws of Tara are, see how embedded the laws of Tara are within the Jewish people. Shalosh shaninu lo yochal hatar imatmeya. We didn't say that a husband who's tahor should not eat with his wife who's tmeya, because the truth is the Gemara says, Rashi says, shalosh shaninu lo yochal tahor imatmeya mipnei erba lefi shelo hutzruchu lekach. So also, interestingly enough, the Gemara says that the Mishnah didn't say that, let's say, husband and wife, if one of them is tummy, one of them is tar, they shouldn't eat together, because that may come, they may come to be intimate with one another, because the Gemara says, that's obvious. Nobody would do that. Rather, what does the Mishnah say? Because what is the Gemara saying? That even two people who are tummy shouldn't go ahead and eat together. Husband is referring dafka to husband and wife, although we'll extend that in just a moment, out of fear that by sitting down to have a meal together, they may become intimate with one another. So the Gemara is just saying, before we even get into the nuts and bolts of this, the Gemara is saying, you see how seriously the Jewish people take the laws of Torah and Tara. That not just, we're not just concerned about Tameh and Tar, but even Tameh and Tameh. Kiyot Sebo, similarly, lo yochal zov parush im zav am ha'aretz. So the Braisa says that a zav parush, which means a zav parush is essentially a zav who's a Talmud Chacham. Right? So if you have someone who's a Talmud Chacham who happens to be a zav now, should not eat together with a zav am ha'aretz. Why? Shemi yargilenu etzlo, because maybe he will become regular by him. Meaning if the Talmud Chacham gets used to eating with the am ha'aretz, the Talmud Chacham may end up spending more time with the am ha'aretz. V'chi margilo etzlo mai havi. So the Gemara says, so what's going to happen to the Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara says, Ela ema shema yachilenu dvarim t'meim. That we're concerned that if the Zav Talmud Chacham stays with the Zav am ha'aretz, that the Zav am ha'aretz is going to end up giving the Zav Talmud Chacham dvarim t'meim. So the Gemara says, well, atu Zav parush lav dvarim t'meim achil. So the Gemara says, I have news for you. If the guy's a Zav, anything he's eating is going to become tame anyway, right? So what do you mean that you're concerned that Am Ha'aretz is going to give him something tame? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Gzera Shem Yachidenu Dvarim She'enu Mitukanim. Oh, there's a concern that maybe by eating with the Am Ha'aretz, the Am Ha'aretz is going to give the Talmud Chacham things that are not tithed properly, things from which Shumos and Majus have not been taken. The Rava Amar, but the Gemara says, but 1 second, Rava says, Rov Ame Ha'aretz Ma'asrin Heim. So Rava says, but the majority of Amoratim, the majority even of ignorant people, do in fact take proper tithes. If that's the case, then what is the concern with having the Zav Talmud Chacham eat with the Zav Am Ha'aretz? Elo Shema Yehe Rogil Etzlo V'Yachilenu Dvarim Tmein B'Mei Taroso. Ah, so what's the distinction? So what are we concerned about? We're concerned about that if they become regular with eating with one another, that the Zav Talmud Chacham, even when they become tahor, may come to go ahead and continue to dine with the Zav Am Ha'aretz, and the Zav Am Ha'aretz will end up giving him Dvarim Tameim, things that are actually Tameh, things that are actually Tameh, when the Zav Tam Chacham has now become tahor. Okay.
Wouldn't that apply to a regular person with the Am Ha'aretz also then?
No, because what he's referring to over here is what we call Chulin B'Tara. Chulin B'Tara means that there are people who are makbid to also eat all food in a state of ritual purity. Not everybody was like that. Talmid Chacham would usually makbid on that. Hiboylehu. So say now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Nida mahu shetishen im bala hi bevigda vehu bevigdo. So the Gemara asks the following question. What is the halacha if a woman is a nida? Is she permitted to sleep with her husband if she's in her clothing and he's in his clothing? Take a look at Rashi. Shetishen im bala, Rashi says, bemita, in one bed. Kigon, shehu tam. So Rashi just points out that Jeff was dealing with the case over here of either where he's tamei, or Rashi goes on later on to say, or like in today's day and age where we're not really concerned with the ritual and purity of nida, that's not our concern. I mean, we're not concerned with the husband becoming tamei, we're just concerned with physical intimacy during days of nida. So the shayla that the Gemara is asking is, halacha lemaisa, can husband and wife sleep in one bed if both are fully clothed when the wife is in nida? Wife is in nida. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says the following. Tashma, he brings an interesting raya. Ha'of ola im hagvina ala shulchan. You can put chicken on the same table with cheese. Chicken on the same table with cheese. Ve'inon echal. But obviously they can't be eaten together. So also remember, mita oraisa, you can eat chicken and meat. Mita oraisa, you can eat chicken and meat. Right? Chicken and meat, I'm sorry. Chicken and cheese. You can eat chicken and meat too, by the way, according to Tosafot's opinion. Right? So, chicken and cheese. right? Because again, the Isser of Basar B'Cholov, when the Torah is Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalevimo, so Gedi is Nafka an animal, is Nafka Basar. But nevertheless, Chazal were goes there, that you can't go ahead and eat chicken with milk. You can't eat chicken with milk, out of fear that people often don't draw the lines between fowl and meat, and therefore may come to eat Basar B'Cholov. So if the Mishnah says over here, the Rabbi says over here, that you can put chicken and cheese on the same table, but you just can't eat them together. Divrei Beis Shammai. These are the words of Beis Shammai. However, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Lo Ola Velo Ne'echal. You can't, not only can you not eat it together, but you can't even put it on the same table together. Take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. Ala Shulchan, Rashi says, She'ochal alav mutar lahaniach ba'of basar ha'of etzel ha'gvino. V'kasavri Beis Shammai basar of b'cholav lav do'oraisa. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the same way that Beis Hillel says that even though chicken and milk is only asur midrabanan, you can't even put them on the same table together. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting is therefore that would be a raya. That would be a raya that a husband and wife would not be permitted to go ahead and sleep together in the same bed, even if both are clothed during her days of nida. So the Gemara says, shiny hasam. The Gemara says, the comparison is not exactly good. Why? Deleka deos. See, because what's Beis Hillel's concern over there? Beis Hillel's concern over there is, you're putting everything on the same table. You're one person. You could easily come to make a mistake and eat both items. They're both in front of you. As opposed to over here, when you're with your, if the person's with their wife in the bed, it's not just you, it's your wife also. See, even if the man forgets, the woman will remember that ultimately they are prohibited to one another. So the Gemara says, this logic would seem to bear forth. Why? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi said, let's go on. So the Gemara says, and this idea that whenever deos means you have more than one person, you have two people involved, that when you have two people involved, sometimes that seems to be a fail-safe mechanism to avoid Isser. So the Gemara says, Diktani Seva, because look at the end of that braisa. Reb Shimon Amiel Omer, Shnei Achsenoyim Ochlin Al Shulchan Echad. If you have two Achsenoyim, means two individuals could go ahead and eat at the same table. Ze Ochel Basar, Ze Ochel Gvina, Ve'en Choshishin. And yet what? One could eat meat, and one could eat milk, and we're not concerned, right? What's the logic there? The logic is, since we're two independent people, you're going to eat your thing, I'm going to eat my thing, and we're not concerned that I'm going to eat yours, and you're going to eat mine. So the Gemara says, one second. So that would seem to support the idea that shtei deos, that when you have two people involved in something, we're not concerned with Isser, we're not concerned that something is going to happen, because even if one forgets, the other one will remember. So the Gemara says, one second. V'lav itmar alo, did we not say about this? Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel, lo shanu elo she'in makirin zedze. No, but we qualified that ruling. When can two people sit down at the same table, one eat meat and one eat milk? When is that, Rebbe Osai? When they don't know each other. When they don't know each other. Because if they don't know each other, then what? Then there's no concern that I'm going to reach over to your plate and you're going to reach over to my plate because they don't know each other. Ava makirin zedze, aser. But halacha lemaisa, if two people sit down and they know each other, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, it's aser. Why? Because if we know each other, that familiarity could break down the barriers, and I may end up eating of your meat, and you may end up eating of my cheese. To which the Gemara says, "Hachinami makirin zedze ninu." And certainly, in the case of the husband and wife, they certainly know each other. So, using that logic, halacha lemaisa, it should be aser for husband and wife to sleep in the same bed together, even if both are clothed when she's a nida. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Ava makirin aser v'isha ubayla nami makirin zeze ushva mina da aser. So I both say halacha lemaisa would seem to be that based on the comparisons that this would be comparable to the case of the two individuals sitting who know each other sitting down at the table, one eating meat, one eating cheese, where the braisa says that it's aser. So do should be aser over here. To which the Gemara says, well, one second. Hachi hashtar hasam deos ika shinui leka. See, but going back for a second, in the case of the milk and meat, the other reason why it's problematic is why, yes, you have deos. Deos means you have two people involved, but there's no shinui. Meaning, there's nothing different about this situation. There's nothing to remind you. There's nothing physical to remind you that what? That halacha lemaisa, I can't eat of your food, you can't eat of my food. Hacha, in the case of Nida, however, Ika Deos, number one, there's Deos, there's two people, there's the man and his wife, and number two, the Ika Shinuye. There's also a Shinuye. What's the Shinuye? Take a look at Rashi. Ika Shinuye, She'ein Derech Lishan, Ella Bekirav Basar. So you'll say, normally people did not have pajamas, so people, husband and wife, would often sleep unclothed. Would sleep unclothed. Kidichsiv, Sheirok Susav Onoso, Va'amar Mar, Sher Zekirav Basar, She'im Amar E. F. Okay, so we don't have to get into this. But the Gemara says, so therefore, again, the notion of even sleeping clothed in and of itself is a shinui. So the Gemara says, this is better than the milk and meat case. Because the milk and meat case, right, when they know each other, true, you have deos, but there's no shinui. Here, there's a shinui. Ika da'amri, so some say like this. Tashma. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shnei achsanoim ochlen al shulchan echad, ze basar v'ze gvina. So the Gemara says like this. So some quote Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, two achsanoim literally are visitors. Two people eating together at the same table. This one goes ahead and eats basar. This one eats gavina. The itmar ala amar Rav Chanan bar Ami amar Shmuel lo shanu ela she'in makirin ze'adze. Ava makirin ze'adze osir. Right? So when is this? When are they permitted to do this? If they don't know each other. But if they know each other, then halach lamais, it's osir. V'hani nami makirin ze'adze ninhu. And in this case of the husband and wife, clearly they know one another. To which the Gemara answers, Hasam Deos Ika, Shinuye Leka, Hacha Ika Deos, Vika Shinuye. So the Gemara just says this, Ika Da'ami just has that as a different version, but it's the same basic Yisod, which is that maybe the case of the Nida is not really comparable to the case of the Basar B'Chalav, because Nida does have an extra added fail safe, which is a Shinuye of sleeping clothed. So the Gemara says, Tashma. Tuma tries to bring a raya as to how he passed in this case of the Nida. Lo yochal hazavim hazava. I will say this is the whole reason why I brought this, because ultimately the zav and the zava case is going to be one of the rayos, which is our Mishnah. Lo yochal hazavim hazava, mishum hergel aveira. So if a husband and wife are a zav and a zava, they shouldn't eat together, lest they come to sin with one another, right? Which let's say we come to be intimate with one another. So the Gemara says, hachanami, deos ika, shinui leka. So Austin Moore says, you know why that case is problematic? Why? Because there's deos, yes, there are two people, but there's no shinui, right? There's nothing there to remind them that this is osir. Tashma, so that would seem to be a proof, Rabosai, that halocha lemaisa, if husband and wife are clothed, they'd be permitted to go ahead and sleep in the same bed when she's an ida. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Tashma. So also now the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk from Yechezkel. El haharim lo achol. To the mountains he did not eat. Rashi points out, El haharim lo achol is a reference to someone who does not rely on schus avos. Someone who does not rely on the merit of his ancestors to be able to get what he needs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So harim, the mountains refer to the avos, Rashi says, El haharim lo achol, ve'enav lo nasa el gilulei beis Yisrael. And he did not set his eyes upon the idols of the Jewish people. Ve'es eshes re'ehu lo timei. He did not defile the wife of his neighbor. Ve'el isha nida lo yikrav. And he did not come close to his wife, to a woman who's a nida. So the Gemara said, why is the Gemara bringing this pasuk? Makish isha nida le'eshes re'ehu. The pasuk compares a woman who's a nida to the wife of one's friend. Ma eshes re'ehu. Hu bevigdo, vihi bevigdo, sir. Just like, again, if with the wife of one's friend, even if she is in her clothing and he is in his clothing, it is still usser to have a closeness between them. Af ishto nida, hu bevigdo, vihi bevigdo, sir. So to one's wife when she is in nida, even if she is in her clothing and the husband is in his clothing, halacha lemaaseh, they are not permitted to sleep together in the same bed. And I will say that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is really based on this hekish of the pasuk. Shema mina. And the Gemara says this is a conclusive proof that halacha lemaaseh, even though in this case there are deos, number one, two people involved, number two, there's a shinui in that they're sleeping in clothing. Nevertheless, halacha lemaaseh, because of this comparison to eshes re'ehu, to the wife of one's fellow, halacha lemaaseh, it's usher to sleep again, one bed, even clothing will lose a nida. However, the Gemara says, Upligi de Rabbi Pedas. But just know that this argues in Rabbi Pedas. What does Rabbi Pedas say? Dama Rabbi Pedas, lo asra Torah ela kurva shal gili arayos bilvat. So Rabbi Pedas says that the Torah only asserted closeness of gilui arayos, literally closeness of, it literally means immorality, but what it really means is sexuality. So the Gemara says, Shene emar, ish ish el kol she'er bisaro, lo sikrevu legalos erva. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Gilui arayos, Rashi says, tashmish mamish. According to Rabbi Pedas, the only thing that's usher with an erva, the only thing that's usher with an erva, with a woman who's prohibited to you, whether she's prohibited to you because she's married to someone else, she's prohibited to you because she's relative, or she's prohibited to you because she's a nida. Nida, the only thing according to Rabbi Pedas that's usher is tashmish, is actual intercourse. So Rashi says, Gilui arayos, tashmish mamish, usher karva, now, any other kind of closeness, so meaning any other kind of physical contact, according to Rabbi Pedas, is only going to be asr midrabanan. And therefore, v'hi bevigda afilu midrabanan like lemigzar. In Rabbi Pedas' model, it's only tashmish that's asr midaraisa. Any other kind of physical contact is only asr midrabanan. And therefore, according to Rabbi Pedas, if the wife is fully clothed and the husband is fully clothed, sleeping in the same bed, it's totally mutter, according to Rabbi Pedas. So the Gemara is just pointing out, we don't paskin this, we reject this opinion, but the Gemara feels it important to put it forward, to just say that even though our Shema Mino is that it's usser, there is an opinion that holds that it's mutter. So the Gemara says the following. Ula, so the Gemara now recounts this episode, ki hava asimi beirav, when Ula would come from the yeshiva, hava menashek lehu la'achvase abe chadayhu, he would kiss his sisters on their chest. Va'amrila abeya daihu. Others say on their hands. Upliga di servosis. What does this mean? Ula used to kiss his sisters. Ula used to kiss his sisters. So the Gemara finds this very intriguing that he would kiss his sisters. Why? Upliga di da'a di day. Ula seems to contradict himself. The Amra Ula, afilu shum kurva asar. Because Ula holds that any closeness to a woman who is an erva, any closeness to a woman who is prohibited to you, is aser mishum lecha lecha amri nazira, schor schor lekarma lo sikra. Because as we say to a nazir, get out of here, right? Don't go around the vineyard, don't come close. Which we'll say is often a colloquial term where the Gemara uses this idea that if someone is aser, if something is aser to someone, we tell them, don't get close. So right, the nazir, we tell him, don't go by the wine store, right? Don't come into the. Sorry, can you whisper lower, please? Right? Don't go into the vineyard, right? Go around. So interesting enough, the Gemara says that when it comes to Ula, so Ula was the one who said that any kind of kurva ultimately is aser. So Tosfos points out over here, interestingly enough, Upliga didea didei. So Tosfos says, "Vahu hava yodea ba'atzmo shelo yavo lidei hirhur shetzadik gamer haya." That Ula understood that this type of activity of kissing his sister would not bring about any type of improper thoughts, and therefore he felt himself able to do it. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa with the Nida case is that even if the husband is fully clothed and wife is fully clothed, it is usher to go ahead and sleep in the same bed. Certainly not usher midra oraisa, that we pretty much established, but usher midra banan. So the Gemara goes on. Tana de Be'elio. So we have the interesting, whenever you see Tana de Be'elio means one of two things. Tana de Be'elio means there was a Tana by the name of Eliyahu, or according to some, it actually means that there are certain halachos that were actually taught by Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay? Whichever one you'd like. So the Gemara tells a story. Ma'isa b'tamid achod, shishana harbe, v'kara harbe, v'shimish tamidi chachamim harbe. There was a story of a Talmid Chacham who learned a lot, right? Learned a lot, literally did a lot of Mishnayos, learned a lot of Chumash, served many Talmidei Chachamim, umes bechatz yamav, and he died very young. V'haise ishto notelas tfilav umachzorasem b'batei knesios u'b'batei medrashos. And his wife used to take his tefillin to shuls and to b'batei medrash, and she would ask, v'amr lohem ksiv b'torah, ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. So this wife was obviously, she was very pained over the loss of her husband. She took his tefillin, which represented his avodas hakodesh, and she used to take it on, saying, she said to people, you know, why did he deserve this? Why did he deserve this? It says that the Torah is your life, the longevity of your days. Ba'ali shashana harbe, my husband learned a lot. Kara harbe, v'shimish amid chacham harbe, amud beis mipnei ma meis bechetz yamav. why did he die so young? She asked a very gripping, why did he die so young? So, v'lo haya adam nachzira davar. And obviously, no one was able to answer her anything. Pam achas nisarachti etzla. One time, I visited with her. Now, who visited with her? This Elio, whether it's the Tana Elio, or whether ultimately it is the Elio Hanavi. I visited with her, and what happened? V'haysamasicha kol osama ora. And she told me this whole spiel. Right, that my husband was so good, he was such a tzaddik, he was so righteous, and yet he died so young. But Amartin, when I asked her, Biti, b'mei nidosecha mahu etzleich, how did you behave with one another when you were a nida? Amrali, she said to me, chas v'shalom, afilu be'etzel kitana lo nagabi. He never touched me, even with his pinky finger. B'mei levoneich, mahu etzleich. And when you were observing your Shiva Nikim, your 7 clean days, tell me, what was your behavior? So she said to Elio, Achali mi, he ate with me, shasi imi, she drank with me, v'yashan imi b'kir of basar. And we slept together unclothed. We slept together unclothed. However, v'lo osa daito al davar acher. But never did we ever think about doing anything else. So meaning, even though we slept together, we never went ahead and even entertained the notion of being intimate with one another. So Eliyahu says, v'amarti la baruch hamakom shehargo. Right, blessed is God who killed your husband. Shelo nasa panim l'Torah, because he did not respect Torah. Shahari amra Torah, because the Torah itself said, ve'el isha benidas tum asa lo sikrav, that you shall not come close to a woman who is in her nida impurity. So I will say, whether this is actually saying that according to this opinion, he actually holds that it's an isra da'oraisa, to have physical contact even without touch, which there are opinions who hold that kiruv basar, that actual touching during nida days is also asr midoraisa. Even though that's not the generally held opinion, so whether this Tana de Elio actually holds like that, or whether halacha lemaisa he's just saying shalonasa upon the Torah also refers to the words of the Rabbanon. So Rav Dimi had a different version of the story, and in this version, lav davka, that his husband was sleeping with his wife without clothing, but rather was sleeping in one bed when she was in nida. The Ma'arava Amri, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Sinar Mafsik Beino Leveino. And again, there are just different versions of this story, that halacha lemaisa, they say there was a sinar that divided between him and her. Rashi says zinar, or whatever that French word is, shehi chogeres bo umagia mimasnaim ulamata, that apparently when she was a nida, she slept in some kind of undergarment. So at least in this kind of undergarment, again, their bodies were not directly touching one another. Either way, the Tana de Beit Yo told this woman that because your husband acted in such a halachically reckless fashion during the days when you were a nida, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him at such a young age. Okay? Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu min ha'alochu sh'amru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, sh'alu levakros. Rabbi will say, these are the halachos that were said in the attic. We'll discuss exactly why he's in the attic. That were said in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, sh'alu levakros, when the rabbis came to go ahead and visit him, nimnu, the Rabu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It was when they went to visit each other that Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel. The Yudchas Dvarim Gazru Bo Bayom, and there were 18 things that they declared on that day. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Abay Rav Yosef, Elutnan O VeElutnan." So should we read the Mishnah of Elu, right? Elu, these are the things, or VeElu and these are the things? What does that matter? VeElutnan Hani Da Amran O Elutnan Divaina Lemeimar. Come on. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it matters. If it says ve'elu, and these are the things that they said in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, then what does it refer to? It refers to the things that we stated in the last Mishnah. But if it says elu, then it refers to what? To actually the items that are going to be enumerated in the next Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we can resolve this very simply. Tashma in Poland la'oraner, the in korin la oraner, you cannot delouse clothing to the light of the candle, which you read last Mishnah. In korin, you can't read by candlelight. Last Mishnah, ve elu min halachos shanu ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, and these are some of the halachos that were said in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. Shmamina ve elu tnan shmamina. They're not familiar that the way to read our Mishnah is how ve elu, and these are the things that were said, including the items from last Mishnah, as part of the things that were taught in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. Tanu Rabbanan. Mikas of Megillas Tainis. Who wrote Megillas Tainis? Rabbi Osai, Megillas Tainis, Rashi points out, is a scroll that contains within it a number of different fast days. Rashi points out, the fish shakal mishnah braisa loha yukos in the asr the kasvam, vizu nichtava lezichron ledaas yom haasurim betainis. Lekach tasav megillah, mekach kis lechach nikra megillah, shakasa megillah sefer. So, I'm sorry, let me say that again. It's not a sefer, actually, of fast days. It's actually a book of days that you can't fast. A list of days that you can't fast. A list of days in which good things happen to the Jewish people, and therefore you should not be fasting on those dates. So the Gemara asks, who wrote that down? Amru, Hananya ben Chizkiah v'siyaito, sheyu mechava ben esat soros. It was Hananya ben Chizkiah and his friends, who literally shemechavavin means that difficulties were very dear to them. What does that mean? Mechavavin as Atzoras Rashi says, shenigalin mahen v'hanis chavivan, that Hananya ben Chizkiah and his friends appreciated the circumstances in which they were in danger and were then spared. They appreciated the salvation so much that they recorded each of these days when they were spared from some kind of difficult situation or some kind of tragic situation and made those days into Yomim Tovim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you know what? We also go ahead and appreciate the difficulties and ultimately when we are spared from them. But what can we do? Because if we try to write it down, it won't be enough. What does that mean? Rashi says, Lefi Shehin Tadiros. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we are in such danger all of the time that if we start recording the times when we're in danger, and yes, Baruch Hashem, a lot of times we're saved as well, it'll never stop. Davar acher, ein shotet nifka. Others say that really what it means is that a fool is never hurt. What does that mean, a fool is never hurt? Rashi says, ein shotet nifka, ein pegara ba'alav, kilomar, ein omakir bepegav, kach kamonisim ba'im lanu, ve'ein anomakirin ba'en. Or the other version of this is that the truth is HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs so many miracles for us that we're in such danger all the time and we're spared from so many difficult things that the truth is we've even begun to lose track of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spared us from. Just like the shotet doesn't realize, the fool doesn't realize what's happening to him, there's so much stuff going on all the time, we don't even realize what's happening. Davar acher, ein baser hames margish bi'izemel. Others say that what is it like? It's like the flesh of the dead that does not feel it, that does not feel itself being cut by the scalpel. What does that mean? So Gemara says, before we explain that, Yini, is that true? But yet the Braisa says that the dead do feel what happens, and that literally a worm in the body of the dead is as painful as a needle in one's living flesh. Shene emar, ach bisaro alav yichav, nafsho alav tovel, emo, ein baser hames shebechai margish bizemo. That's what are we like? We are like a living person that, let's say, has a limb that's dead, and no longer feels. So what does that mean? Rashi says over here, well, Rashi doesn't explain it. What it means is that sometimes we've suffered so much that to a certain degree we've become numb to the entire thing. And therefore, to go ahead and start recording additional dates, it's not going to work because, again, we're numbed by our experiences. Rav Yehuda, Rav, we'll do one more level, so then we'll stop for today. Rav Yehuda, Rav, Baram, Zachar, Osa, Ish, Latov. This man, right? Oh, so this individual is remembered for good. Who is this individual? The Hananya ben Chizkiah Shmo. His name is Hananya ben Chizkiah. Why? Sheomalei hu, because if it were not for him, Nignas Sefer Yechezkel. The rabbis would have hidden the book of Yechezkel. Why? Shehayu dvarav sosrin divrei Torah. Because also you'll look at Rashi on your own, but Rashi points out that there are certain psukim in Yechezkel that seem to contradict the Torah. Seem to contradict the Torah. And therefore the rabbis wanted to really remove this book of Yechezkel from public consumption because the common man would not understand it and would walk away with erroneous understandings. So what happened? Ma'asa. What did Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon do? Hello, Gimel Meos Garbe Shemen. They took 300 barrels of oil up to his attic for him. V'yasha v'aliyah v'darshan. So they took 300 barrels of oil. So Rashi points out that it's either for light, or it's for food, to sustain the panchos, it's for light. The light is candle. So they took up 300 barrels, meaning so they put up a whole bunch of light for him in his attic. And what? And he sat there, and he would not come down until he wrote an entire parish on Sefer Yechezkel, in order to explain the psukim appropriately, so they would pose no contradiction to the words of the Torah. All right, the Bosai, we'll stop over here.